Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Who am I? Six Eyes. That's me. Welcome one, welcome all, our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. We are blessed. We have made the woke list. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and continue to do for us. Amen, amen. How's the cast doing? How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing okay. How you doing, Six?
I am great. I have a very strong pot of coffee, and we're going to have a great show. Amen.
Hey, Six.
I got tall coffee,
hello there.
And I'm hanging in.
Okay, all right. Hey, let's check everybody's mentors. Hey, hello, Emily. How are you?
Hanging in there, even though I barely got any power up here.
Okay, all right. Well, Jesus will provide. So
amen.
How's your mental doing? Amen. Your mental.
Doing all right, other than just being a little frustrated, but I'm all right.
All right, well, give it to God. Don't be frustrated. All right, Ruthie, how's your mental?
It's good. I'm glad we got our power on. Maybe over here at the high rise, I don't know, maybe they just haven't got a fix yet, because I saw the CEI last night when I was out checking the post office. But, man, that wind has been rough. And there's some people we have to pray for down in south.
Yeah. Well, that building should have a generator. It should have a generator. So we just want to pray for everybody in the high rise there, you know, that nobody is in need of power and don't have it, especially people that are on oxygen. So we just want to say a prayer, you know, that the power would get restored soon. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Ruthie, how's your mental?
I'd say about an 8, just because I'm a little sore. It's probably because I was out in the cold, but I'll be all right.
All right, all right. Nikhil, how's your mental?
I'm going to say my mental is a 9, in a little pain, but I'm okay. I'm thankful.
Okay, well, yeah, it's good to be in pain and no pain at all. So that's a blessing right there. All right.
We got some extra feedback I'm hearing.
Okay, I don't know where that's coming from. If you are on speaker, please take yourself off of speaker. And once again, welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Is there anybody else? Is Tony, anybody else with us today? Afternoon? Anybody else? I know Bonnet hasn't showed up yet.
That's it.
All right. Well, we just need an opening prayer. Amen. Wolfgang, are you ready with your opening prayer?
He may be on mute, and I just opened the mic for 440-494. Welcome to the
okay,
show.
Okay, welcome. Who's that?
That's Lila.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. Who's this?
Hey, Brother Six.
Hello, Lila. How are you?
I'm good today.
All right. You doing good?
I'm a blessed.
Good. Glad to hear it. How's your mental?
I'm about in between a 5 and a 8 right now.
5 and 8. Okay, you're doing great then. 5 and 8, you're doing good. They're saying the thing 5 and above, you're doing good. So that's excellent right there.
Amen.
All right. Are we ready with our opening prayer?
Yeah, and I just wanted to tell you what my mental was, 6. Mine is
right.
A 10, and just wanted to say to Sister Nikhil, she can't be in pain because she's not thin enough. She'd have to be an 1/8 inch thick.
All right. Amen. Well, my mental is great. It's a 10. Amen. God is good.
All right, so here we go, everybody. Let's bow our heads and get started. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, for those areas experiencing power outages, et cetera. Lord Jesus, due to these different storms, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus. Touch the people that are affected, Lord Jesus, no matter what they may need, Lord Jesus. Help them, Lord Jesus, to get through it, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch us as we have this program for you, Lord Jesus. We give you the wheel, Lord Jesus. Have your perfect will and perfect way. Whatever may be said or done, Lord Jesus, let it help, Lord Jesus, each and every individual so that they may be touched, Lord Jesus, especially that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, no matter where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends who lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to heal them with a mighty touch as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these wicked, rotten situations we read about in the newspaper, that we hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you would touch us, Lord Jesus. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer.
Amen.
Okay, are we ready for the scripture reading?
We are ready for the scripture reading.
All right, here we go.
This is Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This was Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 23. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show on the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you haven't done so, go and join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. Go join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. And hello to the Six Eyes Radio Network team. Hello, hello. All right, Six Eyes Gospel. Somebody say Jesus. All right, I'll say it. Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody with me. Amen. He woke you up this morning. At least you could say it's Jesus. Thank you.
There's no love to you, just stand. Best in Gospel, the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Come on, y'all.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey, you need to watch what jumping around with that coffee. I almost took it out with one of my chopper blades.
You was up there dancing? All right. Dance with Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, this one, you got to dance with the cup. I'm doing it right now. Dancing with the cup.
Better have a good hold on it.
Right,
my chopper blade might take it out of your hand.
Amen.
I use pom-pom.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Eyes Radio is celebrating National Women's Month. Thank you to all the great women out there from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Because it's moving in my life, connecting me with the right people that will push me into purpose. And so I said, God, why does this keep happening to me? So I was running in the car, and I was looking at some homes. I said, one day I want a house like that. And the Lord just kept showing me series and sequence of events that were just flashing through my mind. And I started crying. I became overwhelmed. This keeps happening to me. It keeps happening.
That's all right.
And I was in the car by myself, and I said, God, I thank you. I won't complain. I'll trust you. So I started, the lyrics just started coming to me.
Uh-huh.
And I said, my feet is blessed. My money is blessed.
Come on now. My money is blessed.
My body is blessed.
My body is blessed. Come on now. I've been my family. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Come on now. Thank you.
Very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith Ministries. Welcome, sir.
Amen. Well, God bless you, sir. God bless you, man of God. It is an honor and privilege to be here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. And this is the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place you can get your praise on without leaving the house. Yeah, I heard Missionary Ken over there shaking the coffee table and everything.
Yeah.
I just want him to be spilled some coffee, but the mop is over in the corner.
He's over there boogieing. He's over there boogieing, doing that chopper.
Yeah. Yeah, next time put your coffee on a coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. No, what it was, the six is over there jumping up and down with his coffee. I told him he's getting a little too close to me. I was about to catch it with my chopper to take his coffee airborne.
You know what, Ken? I was in the spirit. I had my eyes closed, so I'll look next time. Amen.
Amen. And I like to use pom poms and welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
Well, once again, it is an honor and privilege to be in the midst of like believers. It's a privilege just to be able to come in y'all presence and minister the word of God, to teach truth, to teach living, and all that God will allow me to expound upon. It is he who has given me the strength to do what I do. It's not in my own wittiness or my own smarts or however you want to call it, but it is what God has put in me. And I so choose to say yes, Lord, yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Many people want to know, how can I be used by God? is real simple. Make yourself available and say yes. There's a parable in the Bible where there was two sons, and the father of those two sons gave them each instruction to go out and to work in the vineyard. To the one son, he said, go out, and that son said, no, father, I'm not going. And he went his way, and the next son said, yes, father, I will go and do as you have said. But later on, the one that said yes, he went a different direction and did his own thing. And the other son that had said no thought about it and said, my father is worthy for me to work for, and went back and did as his father had requested. And Jesus asked the question, which of these two obeyed God? And many of us will think about the son that said yes. We would say, well, at least he did acknowledge his father and say yes. He didn't tell his father no, like the other son. But at the end of the day, it is not just you saying yes, but it is what you do after the yes. Many of us have good ideas, but it is not the idea by itself. It is what we do with it. Some people say, I have faith. The apostle said, he said, you say you have faith, but I will show you my faith by my works. So what are we doing? Are we being good stewards? We know the parable lets us know that the son, that even though he said no and went on to do something else, as he had second thought about his choice, he later decided to do as his father asked of him. That is the one that obeyed. It is the one that did. Jesus came and said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. Many of us don't understand that you and I are God's resources on this earth. You say, well, how can I be a resource? I don't have very much money. I'm not very smart. I'm not very popular. I'm not very this or very that. And we come up with all sorts of ideas of why we cannot do what God has asked of us. And most times it's really because we have what I like to call comparisonitis. We want to compare what it is that's asked of us based on what we think that has been asked of others, not realizing the greatest life that I can live is the one God gave me, the way he wants me to live it. Challenge you today in the message that Jesus Christ preached. He said, repent. The word repent don't mean repeat. It don't mean say I'm sorry. It don't mean continue to apologize. It simply says, rethink about how you have done what you've done. Have you lived what you lived? How you have thought what you thought? And how you have trusted God or believed in God the way you say. If God is omnipotent, and he is, if he is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, then understand we can't fake him. We can't fool him. He knows the very intimate thoughts that goes through our head. So although we may be able to fool others, we cannot fool him. because he knows the end even before the beginning have ever begun. Our challenge this month is stewardship. We're living this life. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. I want you to get it in your mind that you don't belong to you. I know you feel that you're your own person, you're your own man or own woman. But just like each of us are connected, we are connected in this world by something called a body. That body, amen. The dog saying amen. Glory to God. That's not on my line. Amen. We are connected in this world through our bodies. Amen. And the body that we have a time limit. You don't know the limit that your body has. Some bodies are destined to be here 10 years. Some bodies are destined to be here 50 years. Some bodies are only destined to be here 10 days. Whatever the length of time your body is designed to be here, it was given to you that you may manifest the glory of God in this earth realm. Many of us don't believe that there's something uniquely or divine within us, about us, for someone else. So we spend our lives looking for purpose, not realizing God created us on purpose to fulfill something. He gave all of us a measure of faith and each of us a level of talent. Whether you're highly educated, uneducated, there's something unique about who you are that no one else can do it but you. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul, and we may talk about him tomorrow and read his story, but let me wrap it up in a little bow for you. The Apostle Paul, whose name was Saul was a devout believer in Judaism. He was strong in the faith, and he believed in the calling that he had with everything he was. And Paul had gotten letters from the high priest to bind up, tie up, to put shackles on anyone teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, because this teaching was taking people from the tradition of the elders. And as knowledgeable as he was of the sacred scriptures, as wise as he was as a student, as strong as he was as a young man, all that he was doing, he did it with his whole heart, but it was evil towards God. Because although he thought he was doing the work of God, he was really working against God. It took a dramatic experience as he was on a journey to Damascus to persecute others who called on the name of Jesus and taught in that name. In other words, he was looking for people who believed. But he had an encounter that knocked him off his high horse, put him on his backside, blinded him. And although those that was traveling with him, they heard a voice, but they saw nothing. He wondered what's in himself, and he heard his name being called, and he said, "Lord, who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Jesus spoke to him and told him, "Why are you persecuting me?" A lot of times what we don't realize in this life is when we go against believers of Christ, when we fight people of leadership in the kingdom of God, we're not fighting against those individuals. I know you say, "Well, I can hear from God just like anybody else. I'm a man just like anybody else, or I'm an anointed vessel just like anybody." I know the position you desire to stand. But as we study the scriptures, God has a order in how he do things. And it is his desire to use people to reach people. So we are told to pray to the Lord of the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Automatically in our mind, when we hear a statement like this, we think about agriculture. We think about harvesting in a field or on a plantation or something of that nature. But it's not talking about the harvest of fruits and vegetables. But it talks about the harvesting of lost souls. Church has to fight for membership because there are plenty of sinners out there. Many times what we are reaching and grabbing for is the gifts that we see in others. And we try to pull gifts from over there to over here, instead of developing the gifts that's already here. I'm preaching whether y'all know it or not. And many times we are stingy with our gifts. If we have humble beginnings and if we're dealing with low times and we may deal with a small ministry with 5 or 10 members, and we'll be faithful, and we'll sow our seeds, and we'll give our special offering, and we'll support the fish fry and the chicken dinners. We'll support the pie ministry. We'll support all of those things. But lo and behold, the day we get a true elevation financially, we were faithful in giving 10% of what we brought in. We were barely making $100 a week, $200, barely making $500 a month. But as soon as we start making $500 a week, bringing in $2,000 a month, all of a sudden it's kind of harder for us to give those $200. It become harder for us to give those extra $10 for the children ministry, the extra $15 that we went and sold dinners for just to raise money for our outreach program for the youth department. And don't let God bless us where we start making $3,000 a month or better. Now we want to go to a bigger ministry that already have resources, already doing something in the community, and attach ourselves to that so our names can be called. So we can say we are part of a bigger ministry, a and we abandon the little one that God deemed us to be at. You know, I'm a homeowner, and I have a flower bed out in front. There ain't no flowers in it right now. But I would be pretty upset that the seeds that I planted in wintertime start growing. And springtime comes around, and they started to bud it up and bloom. And then find that somewhere around summertime, the flowers that I planted have uprooted themselves and went next door. That would make me feel some kind of way. I wonder how we make God feel when he plants us. I'm still talking about stewardship. He plants us one place. And without him digging us up, without him moving us, we decide to move. We decide to no longer do what we did there. We develop and learn a few scriptures, and now all of a sudden we know better than the pastor. He was good to get you saved. He was good to go and pray for your family members that wouldn't come to church when they was in the hospital. But he's not good for you to give your increase when you get more. Because you said in your mind, I ain't giving all my money to that man. I ain't giving all my money to that church. It's not your money. Even the body that you have. I'm tired of them asking me to sing every Sunday. You wanted God to bless you the same. When you started out, you couldn't hold a note. Now that you're able to hold a note, and we're asking you to sing more so you can develop your vocal cords, now all of a sudden it's too much. But we sing songs like, bless me, oh Lord, bless me. Why? Should God bless us and we keep wasting what he gave us? Think about it. Let's play a child's game. Little girls like to have a little coffee table, and they put the stuffed bears around there, and they, the dolls around the table, and they have their little teacups, and they pour tea into each one of the cups. Imagine if you had a real tea party, and the people sitting at the table, when you will pour them a cup of tea, they pour it out and say, fill me up. They didn't drink it. They didn't give it to someone else to drink. They poured it out. So you may fill it up the next time, but then they pour it back out again on the ground. At some point, you're going to say, wait a minute. Now, we were just playing, but now I'm about to get serious. When will we be serious about the gifts and calls of God in our lives? See, right there, every gift and call of God is not to the pulpit. Every gift and call of God is not inside the four walls of the church. In a world like what we have, where there are communities that are focused on tearing down the structure of God, and I mean it, the alphabet community, and I'm not taking it back. Before I take it back, I add more to it. If you read some of their early manifestos, these people want a wayward lifestyle, and they don't want to be governed outside of their own distortion. And shame on any preacher who know what the Bible has said concerning this riotous living. Ordain any of them to the ministry. I didn't say they can't go to church, but let them get saved first. Let them be redeemed first. Let them get the word of God in them first. Let them be delivered first. Talking from a position of, I ain't never did that. Oh, I did a whole lot. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would still be doing a whole lot on purpose. But when I realized the scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, we're in Romans, that you will present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. A living. And then he said, this is our reasonable, catch the word, service. And there was an illustration in the Bible that says that there was a man that owned a lot of land. And on that land, he built a lot of vineyards. And he put a lot of things going on that land. And he was prepared to leave out. So he rented it out to others. We would call that sharecroppers. And after a very long period of time, he came back to claim that which was his. The Bible said that when he came back to claim what was his, those current tenants began to do all sorts of things not to give him what was due to him. He sent messengers to receive it, and they killed the messengers. Finally, after all of the rejection, he sent his own son, saying, surely they will accept my son if they didn't accept nothing else. He said those wicked tenants thought to themselves that they can kill the son and take the land. The question was asked, what do you think the master of the land will do? Surely he will go and deal harshly with those tenants. When we take our bodies, which belong to God, and refuse to give him what belongs to him, how do you think that make him feel? I mean, you think about all your secular artists out there. And I'm not saying every secular artist is bad or evil. But I want you to think about those that have literally sold their soul. They're definitely selling their bodies because it's on display. Compromising the integrity of God by making use of their gift for entertainment. To make dollars for those that care nothing about the kingdom of God, that do not care about our children growing up with any type of good values. No way in this world you can say that a child should be able to determine their gender when they can't even determine their bedtime. That is foolishness at its highest level. So what God needs is some saved teachers, because you got some unsaved teachers that's teaching your daughters it's okay to give their bodies away, that they can try before they get married. You got some that's teaching your young boys that it's all right to play with Tommy and experiment. The devil is a liar. And you got those that's out there that's pushing their private agendas. So we need some saved teachers. Some teachers that will go to work early and pray in the classroom. Some teachers that don't mind walking up and down the hallway praying privately. You got to pray out loud. Casting every demonic spirit in the schoolroom. Oh, yeah, we need some praying teachers. We need some police officers that don't mind praying when they clock in for work. That they handle the safety of their community with honor. We need some saved politicians that not looking for you to line their pockets with money, but are trying to do what's best for their community. We need some saved politicians that go to church on a regular basis, not just when it's time for election. So, excuse me, it's not just a good to be anointed to preach a sermon. We need somebody that will be at the shipyard talking to other men while they're the same position talking about how to trust God, even though it seems like the wages are not where they need to be. We need somebody who's working in McDonald's that's saved. And we need a saved fry cook. We take things for granted, not realizing that God is strategic. He placed us where we need to be. Ananias was already in Damascus. And the journey that Saul was taking was to Damascus. And the Lord told him, I'm going to send somebody to you. And although Ananias heard the word of the Lord saying, go pray for Saul. Ananias said, Lord, this man is evil. This man been given legal permission. And that's where I'm at, legalism. All things may be lawful, but not expedient. Just because it's lawful for you to marry a man and you a man, or you could marry a woman and you a woman, don't mean it's lawful to God. It doesn't mean that God will appreciate it. He doesn't. It is not sacred in his eyes. There's not one scripture, period, canonized scriptures that give a blessing to same-sex relationships. When we read scripture, for this cause shall a man leave both mother and father and cleave to his own wife. And the two, and the two, and the two, not the three, to forget the sister wives, forget the brother husband, all that foolishness that this world is teaching. And it's bad stewardship. Because if I hired you to sweep the floor, don't care about you wiping down the wall, sweep the floor. We need somebody that's going to be an anointed janitor in the position that God gives you. Whatever that position is, you need to be anointed there. Stay there. Understand that God is sending someone who needs to be redeemed where you are. But the problem is we've been ungrateful. We've been so ungrateful that we don't even tell God thank you on a daily basis. I know I'm talking right. I want you to think about it. When was the last time you told God thank you without being told to say, God, thank you? When was the last time you got up and said, God, thank you for being able to breathe on my own? God, thank you for the activities of my fingers being able to wiggle. God, my feet may be hurt, but I thank you that I still got toes. What makes any supervisor, boss, manager angry is those up under him begin to complain about the simple task that's laid before them. And they begin to examine the complaint. You complain about nothing being right, but you don't show up on time. And you always want to leave early. You complain about things not being right, but you're not doing the requirement that's asked of you right. Stewardship. Stewardship is the proper management of someone else, organization, or group. When we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards. So if we're going to be stewards of the mystery of God, that means I got to study the Word of God. I got to know the Word of God. I got to be active in the Word of God because I'm responsible for carrying the Word of God. And if you are a born-again believer, you need to know how you receive the Word of God. You don't have to be able to preach like Bonnet. You don't have to be able to extrapolate the scriptures like Wolfgang. That is not your task. Your task tells how you was converted. Your task needs to be that you are able to tell others how you became a believer. Because you don't know what they need to hear in order to believe themselves. Many don't receive the gospel the first time they hear it. Some may need to hear it over 6 or 7 times before it settles in, but how can it settle in if we never resound it? Many go to church and think that is their service unto God, but the message that they heard, they forget it by the time they get in their vehicles. They forget it, and if you ask them on the other side of the parking lot, if they're going to feed their faces, they'll tell you, ooh, we, our preacher, preach good, but they can't tell you what text he used, nor the title of the message or the subject of the message. Thereby making them failures at stewardship. Because in their ears was entrusted good news. In their hearing was released power to make a difference on their job, to make a difference in their home, to make a difference in their community, to make a difference in their environment. But because they fail to do what they needed to do, hold on to what was preached in their ear. Write it down. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now, there's some things that we have to learn to subject ourselves for. If I was today, if I wanted to be a good steward, I would have to discipline my body. That means I can't eat what I shouldn't eat. That means I must exercise and do the requirements of the skill set that I have. If I'm going to be a musician, that means I can't go weeks in and weeks out without practicing my craft, without utilizing the instrument. Many of us want to be great, but let me help all of us. I want you to think real hard and real long. Now, don't think too hard and don't think too long, because that means you're really not thinking at all. Which one of us in this human body was born walking, ready to run? None of us. That means we had to grow into that position. We had to develop into that position. Stewardship, good stewardship, is learning how to develop as a son or daughter of the Most High God, learning how to make a difference where you are. God needs some saved husbands, some saved wives. So when other families look at your structure as a family, they see both a saved man and a saved woman honoring one another and honoring God. It's a disgrace when you, as saved, sanctified, born again, some of you like to say five baptized, speak it in tongues, and the Holy Spirit give utterance, but you quick to go and cuss somebody out. God get no glory from it, because you represent him. Well, they made me mad. Preacher, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been mad before. Jesus got mad. Jesus got mad, and only one time we saw him do something physical, because the madness was they had literally turned the house of the Lord into a den of thieves. Let me break that text down for you. You would go to make a sacrifice, and they would tell you the offering that you was about to give to sacrifice unto the Lord wasn't good enough, that you would have to go down, back downstairs to the merchant and trade your animal in for one better. Then the merchant would tell you, yeah, your animal is no good, and you need one better, and will pick out one and charge you more money than it costs you for that one. Here's what made them wicked and evil. When you gone to sacrifice that animal, somebody else coming up with something else, they will sell the one they just bought from you, made you trade in and pay more money for, and sell it to the next person. So it wasn't good enough for you, but it's good enough for them. They was robbing the people, making a mockery out of the sacrifice, exchanging money. Saying you're doing all type of evil to get rich. Priesthood allowed them to do it because they would give money to the priesthood. So they distorted giving. They distorted the sacrifice. They made a mockery of it. They forgot the story about Hophni and Phinehas. And maybe you don't know the story about Hophni and Phinehas. But they were the two sons of a high priest. And this high priest, instead of bringing his sons under strong rebuke, because it was in his authority, in his day and time, to actually stone them, kill them for the violation that they did in the temple. They were molesting women, causing widow women to give themselves to the preacher. And they made the heart of people hard against God. Because every time they went to give, they had to deal with them two knuckleheads. So God raised up a woman who couldn't have a child, who got so desperate. Hannah was so desperate. Lord, give me a child. Lord, give me a child. Year after year. Lord, give me a child. Lord, give me a child. So one day she wanted it so bad, so she said, Lord, if you give me one, I give it back. God said, that's my answer. That's my servant. He's going to be my next resource. And he's going to be the answer to the changing of God. Her desperation of wanting a child, but her commitment of giving him back. See, many of us don't do that. You know, one of the things I love about my mother, she had me very early. Yes, indeed. She had me way too young. But she reminded me, and still do to this day, that she gave me to the Lord. She gave me back. And in that day and time, it was already supposed to happen that way, that the firstborn male is given to God. And you had to buy him back from the Lord. And she said, Lord, I'm not going to buy him back. He shall be yours all the days of his life. And the Bible said the words of Solomon, none of it fell to the ground. Every word of prophecy he spoke, the people alive, came to pass. How dare you to give something to God that means something to you? To a ship. And for that one sacrifice, God opened her womb. But God was able to deal the injustice in his house. And that's the only time we saw Christ mad because of the disgrace that was brought in his house. We're not talking about someone that have a bookstore in their church. We're talking about the games that are played at offering time. That's what make a bad steward. That what changed the hearts of the people. Now, if God said give, give. There's no gift that you can give God that he won't give it back to you in multiplication. Cannot be God-given no matter how we try. The more we give to God, the more he gives back to us in return. I don't believe that, preacher. You only don't believe it because you never tried it. That's why Malachi said, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Not says your preacher. So it's not the preacher obligation to make that come to pass. It's God. Your requirement, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Those saints used to sing songs like that that put us in remembrance that our life belonged to God. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Many of us won't sing songs like that today because we don't want that real commitment. Sad thing about that is we don't realize that's the best thing that we can ever do is to give ourselves to God. Because we already belong to him. That means when there's something going on with this body, I can truly go to God and say, hey, Lord, something is wrong with your temple. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to correct it. I need you. And God will show up through his ship. Learning to be faithful and understand that God had covenanted himself with those who would just trust him and do what he said. Let me go to look at this text from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us, it says, and I'm reading the New Living, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commandments. Some of us, the reason why God hasn't given us a lot of money, the truth of the matter is we can't be trusted. We're unfaithful with money. Not just to the paying of the tithe, but just paying our bills. How many of you have a set amount of money coming in, but yet you still spend more, even though you know you only have but so much? Well, you don't understand. I saw this, and I had to reward myself. For what? What governs that you had to reward yourself. Our preachers, now you're getting real strict. Now you're getting you're doing something too much, preacher. Answer the question though. What governed you gave you the understanding that you needed to reward yourself? Because if I think about the term reward, it is usually applied to something. Reward is something because something was done in addition to. You know, you found somebody lost dog, they gave you a reward. You discovered an error in your company that was costing them millions, they gave you a reward. You found an escaped convict or a criminal that was at large and you turned them in, they gave you a reward. You did something. Mm-hmm. So what did you do that certified you spending what you need to get a reward? The Bible. I am preaching the Bible. God been teaching stewardship since Genesis. He been teaching us how to be faithful on what he has given. Our problem is we don't want to be faithful to what he has given, and we say, well, we would if we had this or that. And all we have done is lied to ourselves. I've done it. I've been guilty of it. I want you to look at Habakkuk 2 and 2 again. Write the vision. Let me give you a modern word for that. Write down the budget. Oh, here we go again, that money. You know why we talk about money? Because you either don't have none, you don't know how to control yours, and that's your struggle. So we must deal with the struggle. Do not have a written budget. It's amazing how we make New Year's resolutions every year and we break them soon after. But we never go back to what we wrote and restart because we haven't been faithful of what we have. One of the things my grandmother taught me growing up was don't spend all your money, save something for a rainy day. And so as a young man on my own in my 19s and 20s, mm-hmm. saved the silver dollars and the half dollar coin. And so I would ask for them. So if I went to a cashier and they had the silver dollars or the half dollar coin, I would buy whatever they had in there and put it away. And I figured those two coins was odd enough just to keep. It's one of the things that I did. To my own shame, I stopped. But when I obeyed that principle, it was a time in my life, only a short period of time, because I've been working since I was 16. I think I was only out of a job for about the equivalent of 4 weeks. Raising my eldest son, But the reason why I was still able to pay my bill is because I had all those coins saved up. The problem was I didn't go back fully. I think I did it for a while. I didn't stay committed. So imagine, had I stayed on that path, how much more I would have today. Many of us don't take that serious look at our lives and identify with our own issues. We pray that God will give us money, and money has come to our hands, and we've done this, that, and the other with it, crying of a widow woman. She said, "Prophet, the creditors are coming to take my two sons." Sons meant strength to the family. That means the name of the father will carry on, and with their obligation to take care of their mother and to keep the house going. But they was indebted. We don't know the reason. All we do know is they was in debt. And legally, at that day and time, if you was in debt, they can take you or and your children until the debt was repaid. In other words, those slaves got paid. You will have to work your debt off. But that would have left her with no help in her home. The preacher asked her, "What do you have saved? What do you have in your home?" And she said, "Your servant have nothing saved." That's our issue today. And the reason why many of us are struggling, either in our health, in our wealth, or in our talent, because we haven't been stewards. I love the days of layaways. The days of credit have caused all of us to have some jacked up credit. Because think about if you couldn't have it until you had the money to pay for it, many of us would not be in debt like we are today. Back to the story. He gave us some instructions. She followed the instructions. And when she came back to the man of God with the abundance of her obedience to the man of God, here's the instruction. Go pay all your creditors. Pay your debt. Pay what you owe. Don't leave nothing on there. Many of us, we get our tax return, and instead of paying what we owe, we go buy what we want. And we lie that we didn't get as much as we thought we were going to get, and we hustle the people who entrusted us with their wealth. Bad stewards we are. I know messages like this are not believable, but they are needful. The Bible said, "My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge." It is when we don't deal with true issues. The devil don't have to do much to put many of us in despair. Entice us to buy something we shouldn't buy yet. Write the vision, Habakkuk 2 and 2. What if the vision was a budget? God said for the next 2 years, buy nothing extra, only manage what you have and pay it off. You got a car note? Don't buy nothing else on credit or otherwise until you pay your car off. But we won't be faithful to that charge because we feel again that we need to reward ourselves extra money that we don't have to. Now, I'm not saying you can't be nice to yourself. I'm not saying that you can't buy things for yourself. I'm not saying you can't treat yourself to this, that, or the other. But what I am saying, when you do nothing extra, then what you have done was you have robbed yourself. I'm a different kind of preacher. Many preachers will teach against gambling. And I preach against it this way. Number one, I identify and define the word gambling. To me, gambling is not just going to the casino. To me, gambling is not going to the new app on your phone and betting on your sports team. That's not all of gambling. Is so much more. Gambling is knowing that your history and your family history, you have hypertension and you know that you have high blood pressure. Gambling for you is eating excessively greasy foods or pork. Things that will cause your blood pressure to escalate. That's gambling. Except for the difference in the gambling here is those people was gambling their money. You're gambling your life. The Surgeon General tells us that cigarettes contain so much poison, toxin. It's not good for the human body. And a drug that is addictive, nicotine. They tell us that. We have full knowledge. And so when I choose to smoke, for whatever reason, whether my nerves, whatever reason I choose to smoke, I am now gambling. If I'm not gambling money, I'm gambling life. Why? Because if I know that this puff can be my last or cause the life that God wanted to give me to be shortened, then I have gambled with what God has given me. You know, if I don't do all of that, but I love the speed. You know, man, I got this nice car, man. It got 160 on the dashboard. Man, you know, it's just a shame not to take it 120. Foolish. You ain't at a racetrack. You in traffic. You at the expressway. You're not somewhere where the Autobahn allows you to go so fast. You are gambling. Not with just your life. Now you're gambling with others. You're gambling. You're gambling. You're taking a chance to throw away the body that God gave you to have a purpose. That's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you don't do that. Maybe, you know, on Fridays you just, you know, you done had a long week and you just have to go to the bar at 5:30 to 8. You ain't going to stay out late because you're going to be faithful to your wife, but you're going to go to the bar from 5:30 to 8 because you get off 5, you done put up with them people all week long, and you feel that, you know, it's within your right to go to the bar and drink and drink. You're gambling. You're gambling. Because now you're taking the funds that God had allowed you to accrue throughout the week. And instead of going home and making sure everything is taken care of, you giving something else to give you peace. Now you're gambling with your spirit man. Because your spirit man controls the emotional state of you. So now when you start gambling with him, now you can't find peace unless you kick back and have a cold one. Ladies, your ladies' night on Thursday, you know, we as girls, we just get together and talk and we just drink a little wine. Okay, now you're gambling. You're gambling. You're doing no different than rolling the dice. Because why can't that just be tea? Why can't it be something non-alcoholic? I mean, there's some Louisiana tea that's sure enough good. Put just some real fresh lemonade in it. Oh, my goodness. That's some good stuff by itself, all by itself, especially if you make it with honey. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can't relax you. You have become dependent on something that wasn't designed for you to be dependent on. Mm-hmm. So many of us are gambling week in and week out. We're gambling with our health. We're gambling with our life. And then we pray and ask God, Lord, bless me. Lord, heal my body. Lord, deliver me. Now, by no means, don't stop praying. Keep praying. But I want you to think about what you're praying. I want you to think about your responsibility in what you pray and the why. With the understanding, God will not do what he purposed you to do. So God's not finna come down and cook your meal. God is not finna come down and clean your sheets. God is not finna come down and straighten up your house. These are the things that are left in the hands of stewards. That's you and I. They are our obligation and responsibility. When we break those obligations and responsibility, we forget. In that same Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says this, have achieved this wealth with my own strength. Some of us think that. We forget that the strength that we use to get money, to get wherewithal, to get fame, it wasn't ours. It was God. God gave us strength. God gave us talent. God gave us ability. God gave us the agility to do what it is we have done. So the Bible tells us, remember the Lord your God. He is one who gives you power to be successful. The only reason why we have what we have is because God allowed it. But it is our obligation to manage it to the best of our ability. The older we get, we should get better at managing what God gives us. Why? Because time allows us to see what don't work. And prayer will allow us to see what will. My time is up. There's more I can say. But Ezekiel said this in chapter 16. He said, I will affirm my covenant with you, and I will know, and you will know, excuse me, and you will know that I am the Lord. When we give ourselves to God, he'll confirm his covenant. What is his covenant? We'll think of it like this. God's covenant is the best umbrella that could ever be made by man. When it starts to rain, you have the ability to open it up, and it will cover you from the rain. Don't stop the rain. Cover you while you're walking through the rain. When we don't walk as good stewards, it doesn't change the fact that God loves us, but the covering will be like that umbrella, unopened. You can have the umbrella, but it does you no good if you don't open it up. You are a born-again believer. It does you no good if you don't open the Word of God to see what he has that will cover you, that will take care of you. Some umbrellas are big enough that somebody else can get under there with you. If y'all walk, consider what I say and let God give you an understanding. I pray what I've said today will give you that nudge to be a better steward. On tomorrow night on Motivational Monday, I will have the last opportunity to share with you concerning stewardship in this series. I hope you join us then. There's a few more things I'd like to share because God has made all of us a resource. We're going to cover a few scriptures that deal with that so that we know that God desires to use us to touch somebody. I love you with the love of Christ. I surrender the microphone back over to those hands who's in control of the program today. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Bonnie, for that beautiful message. After this song and one more, we're going to have our takeaways. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Go and like that Six Eyes Radio Network group. Don't like it, join JOIN, the Six Eyes Radio Network group. Amen. All right. Now it's time for our takeaway. Our takeaway. What was your takeaway from the powerful message from our very own pastor, Prophet Kenneth Bonnet? Amen.
Well, I'm going to give you mine. Was talking about the thing about gambling. It was really interesting. And I just got a question for Pastor Bonnet. Now, some churches do raffles or bingo to raise money for the church. What do you think of that? Is that still gambling, or do you think it's right?
Well, again, if you notice in my description of gambling, I didn't say gambling was wrong, because if you take the term gambling, Michael Jordan, who got millions of dollars, and all of his bills are paid in full. If he go to the casino, to Las Vegas, and he lose $1,000 that night or $100,000, it wasn't a gamble for him. It was leisure. It was his part of his spending. So that wasn't gambling for him. Gambling to him would have been something that would have caused his wealth to diminish. And so we must properly identify what's true gambling. A lot of people do bingo and things of that nature. My statement to gambling is, if you believe that gambling is wrong, then let's address it on all forms. So raffling, that can be considered a gamble because it deals with chance. The Bible says time and chance happens to them all. That's why I don't preach about gambling like others. I'm not here to debate whether one preacher tell his congregation, don't do it. And if you tell your congregation, don't do it, then don't do raffling. If that's your stand on it, stand. And stand on it based on the principle that it makes them bad stewards. It causes them to change their dependency, because gambling will make you depend on the luck of the draw. And there's no search for the believer. And so we have to understand that when you deal with chance, you deal with uncertainty. But we as believers, our certainty is in Christ Jesus. And so that's why we have to have a more understanding of what gambling is. And that's why I brought out the description. If you're going to talk about your money, let's talk about your life. If you're going to talk about your life, let's talk about your health. Talk about your talent. Because as stewards, we are recharged time, our talent, and our treasure. God wants our time, our talent, and our treasure. Those are equally important to him. God can care less about money. It's all his anyway. What he wants is what he put stock in. That's you and I. I hope you answered your question. Somebody singing music in the background?
Yeah, well, like I said, Pastor Bonnet, it was only just a question. It didn't have a right or wrong response. It was just what your opinion was. That's all it was.
No, you're fine. Good, bad, right or wrong. That is my response to teaching of that, because we got a lot of people that have the teaching of men or traditions. And if that's your tradition, if that's your set, fine, stick with it. Be faithful to it. and stand on it. But if God ever convicts your heart at anything that you do, the word says, to him that know to do right and choose to do wrong, to him it is sin. So once the Holy Spirit tells you that it is wrong, and for you to continue to do it is for you to be sinful. Let's consider that and let God, through his Holy Spirit, give each of us our proper stewardship lesson or training in that, so that we will be faithful to what God has called each of us to do. I'm not certain who have the radio playing in the background. Let's mute your lines, please. Let's be respectful. Anyone else with a takeaway? Amen. Hello.
Amen. Right, anybody else? All right, are we ready for our bloodhound of scripture?
Amen. Come on with it.
Amen. All right, bloodhound of scripture, kid. Amen.
Yeah, he's on the way.
All right. You all are enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. If you have social media, share this on your page. And if you haven't done so already, go join JOIN, the Six Eyes Radio Network Group. Go join. What are you waiting for? Amen.
Amen. And here we go with our Bloodhound of Scripture.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And you notice this is about one golden spoon, and its weight is 10 shekels. And we'll hear that verse again.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
And it also has, it's full of incense. The spoon is full of incense. So we know that it has to be for worship of some kind. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense.
Amen. Well,
now, anyone know where that is located?
Since everybody's being quiet, Missionary Ken, I'm going to go and tell it because they've been quiet today. So that will be in the book of Numbers. It will be chapter number 7, verse number 38.
Yep, I'll give that one to you, even though it's also located, the one we were actually thinking of is verse 32. So we'll give that to you.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah. See, it's actually located in there 12 times. If you look in Numbers chapter 7, you'll see that located in there 12 times, because what we have in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, is 12 princes, each prince from a tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all giving a offering to dedicate the altar of the Lord, and each were giving an equal offering. Not one, not a single one gave more, and not one gave less. Amen. They all gave equally.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's what makes it so interesting and makes it great blood pepper traps, is because of this chapter having all these equal offerings. Amen. All right, and now for the verse that you'll have to sniff out by next week.
Of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
You know, sir, this, let his habitation be desolate. And we'll hear that one more time.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
And you notice it also says, let his bishopric let somebody else take. We'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
Amen. Amen.
And there you have it.
That's a good one, Missionary Ken. I would like to add a trivia question to that, because that's a good text. Can it, when they find it, I would like the answer to that, who took his place? What is the name of the person that took his place? I think that would be a good one for our Bible readers.
And I'm not going to answer that because I do know who it was, but I'm not going to say. It'll be on them.
Look,
maybe six can answer it by next Sunday. Amen.
Look, we're supposed to know because he became number 12. And so that's good. And that gives them hints of who it's talking about. Somebody lost their position. And then somebody took their place. Those are great things I love about the Bible, a little trivia. Keep us studying.
Kind of question. Maybe it was somebody who sinned is why they had to replace him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having fun,
yep.
Pastor Bond, and I've been studying the Bible from Genesis to up now. I'm in 1 Kings. I just got through reading about Solomon passing away after he had all those concubines and wives and stuff, and there was a little bit of idol worship there. So that was quite a section.
Well, the whole lot. That lets you know one of the reasons why they were told not to marry strange women.
Yep.
Because the wimp will lead your heart
into
other women. So that's the importance of marrying the right one. Him being king, his marriage was arrangement for countries to come together. And so he was committed to have more than one. But in doing so, instead of him being an influence on other nations, on serving the one true God, later on, as he continued to do what he was doing, they started impressing upon him their service of false gods. So we definitely have to be careful. Started out real great. We have so much from him. by way of scripture. And so, but that was good. I like that text you gave. You said it's in that. I know the description is, but does it stop on all 12? I know 14 and 37 have the same, but you're going to make me go back and read the whole thing. Numbers.
I think he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, I think. But I'm only learning from
him
pitching at me for
so long. Solomon did. You're right. Solomon, he wrote, he is credit for writing the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Those are the two books that is fully accredited to him. In which we see that wonderful, and what they call the Songs of Solomon. Amen.
Is he in love with the Queen of Sheba?
Yes.
I thought so. Okay, because I've seen there's a movie called Solomon and Sheba. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's in the writing. If you go back and read it, she's talking. It's a wonderful letter for married people and dealing with relationship. It really in the Songs of Solomon or Songs of Songs, we will see like in the Songs of Solomon, we'll see that. So he has three books, I'm sorry. So you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Songs of Solomon. But we see the love letter from her. That's when she gives her description. And we see a whole lot more. Very, very, very. For all the people that love to read romance novels, light romance stories. That's one for the ages. So starts off with her letter. That's her letter in the beginning of it when it says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." So that she was talking smooth. Amen. She was smooth talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then it said, "Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is an ointment pure forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? Draw me. We will run after thee. The king has brought me to his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, the upright love of thee. I am blight, but not comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Carter, as the system of Solomon, look upon me because I am blight. They say, look not upon me because I am blight, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but thy own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me." And she goes on and on. So it gets a little deeper I'm going to stop right now this Sunday program.
No, don't stop.
It gets a little deeper for she goes a little deeper. She really get just
oh wow. Got to put the little kid to bed, huh?
She gets into it.
Put Chad to bed. Okay, so yeah, y'all read that at your own leisure. Y'all read that at your own leisure while y'all
we know she get right down to it because she said, also our bed is green.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Amen.
She was talking that picnic without the blanket.
She's talking that talk. She's talking that talk. So,
She is a love story for the ages.
Okay.
Amen.
So y'all check that out. Bible. That's in the Bible. Y'all check it out. They say the Bible is everything. They said it's everything that we go through in life. It's everything. So there you
go. That's true.
Amen.
But, I mean, like I say, when you read that whole, the Songs of Solomon, you really get to see a intimate relationship, and it highlights the importance of a husband and wife being intimate with one another, being playful, and so on. Like I said, it's the part of the Bible that'll make anyone blush. I'll put it that way.
Amen.
If it don't make you blush, keep living.
Yeah, could you imagine if they had child support back in the biblical days?
They did? Yeah. You know, when you read scripture, you know, in our modern culture, we made women housewives to take care of the children. But, you know, in a strict Jewish culture, the husband actually raised the children. The women just they came along. They did the other duties, feeding and caring, but it was the man's responsibility to make sure that his children understood their lineage, understood the relationship with God. It was the man's job to. That's why daughters couldn't get married without daddy permission. That's why marriages were arranged, because they had to know the destiny of their children, so on and so forth. I mean, so the man had a great responsibility of the upbringing of the children. The mother's job was to nurse them, to they were able to be released into a father's hand.
Right on.
So,
okay.
Man, you go back and, matter of fact, part of that culture might be somewhat still like that. If you, again, a lot of times what we fail to understand is we are a Western civilization. Built on democracy. So kingdomship sometimes seems distant to us. The king's job, when he spoke to his subjects, I mean, everybody in the kingdom, there was no debate. If the king said it, that was it. It was law. And so that's why when we go and read the story about Queen Vestes, who when the king called her, she decided she didn't want to show up. the noble said, if she remained in position, it would tell every woman in the country they don't have to follow their husband. And so she was removed out of office because she violated the mother land. She lost position and her authority and power all because she did not want to yield to leadership. When the king speaks, that's it. You're only queen because he is king. But and then we started mingling with other cultures that wanted to stray away from God. So got other cultures, started doing other things. So, but when you go back and really look at biblical history, you see God have a structure. And for public worship, it was always meant for men to be in front. It didn't mean the women couldn't worship, but public worship, the man was responsible for showing his family how to worship God. In our culture today, in almost any church, you're going to see the women in leadership of worship because men don't stand up like they're supposed to.
Well, how is Juanita Bynum, if men's supposed to be behind the pulpit, how is Juanita Bynum behind the pulpit?
Because the lack of men doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
And women across the length and breadth of this country have risen up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we want to celebrate our great women, our National Women's Month here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. But we're going to take it a step further because you all are great women all year round. So we're going to just thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I said to the congregation today, and I'm going to be leaving here shortly. I got a memorial to go to in a little bit. But, my former deacon, you know, his wife passed on. So we're doing a memorial balloon release at Mullet Island here.
Six Eyes Radio Network. And I also got to find out, I want to say, yes, you're welcome. My condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And I also have to see what happened to my cousin Dallas Williams. He was murdered. So I got to try to find out and see what happened to him. That's my family in Minnesota. So I got to see what's going on with him. Now, if you remember when I talked to you about the family reunion that we had when my father was alive, and my father said, okay, we're going to have the reunion Saturday. It's sunny. It's bright outside. Well, my other cousin, Mr. Reunion, oh, no, we're going to have it tomorrow. I paid for the venue, the park, the permit, all this, blah, 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 blah. We're going to have it Sunday. So needless to say, my father said, okay, no problem. Sunday came. Well, cousin, my father said, don't you say nothing. I said we should have it Saturday while it was bright and sunny. I don't want to hear nothing. So needless to say, my cousin, Dwayne, which is his son, that's Dallas's father, Dwayne. So that's the last time I've seen Dwayne. So I just want to keep our family in your prayers. But, yeah, but his son was found murdered, said he wasn't far from home. They don't know what happened, so we're trying to find out. But it's supposed to live stream it for those who can't make it. So keep my family in your prayers. Keep the Kellis family in your prayers. And just anybody that's lost some loved ones, it's our condolences. And once again, our condolences to your deacon from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. 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 Praying for mankind, praying for the world. That covers everybody. Yes.
Well, we want to wish you safe travels as you reach your destination. And make sure you say hello to First Lady. I'm looking for a fried chicken recipe. Fried chicken recipe.
God
I want to eat the same. How you doing, First Lady? I want to eat the same chicken that the pastor eats. Now, I'm doing pretty good. We got the same air fryer. We got the same Keurig. So I'm doing too bad.
All
right.
Did
you get a chance to get that coffee yet?
No. What was it again?
I text it to you.
Okay.
That way Siri can read it to you, so.
Amen. Once again, we want to thank everybody who joined us here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. When you get to praise on without leaving the house, we are here every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. When you get to praise on without leaving the house, you've enjoyed the best in online radio, the best in gospel, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. So we're going to have a closing prayer and get ready to get out of here. This is for myself and the Six Eyes Radio Network team. You've enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Amen. Hey, I also want to remind everybody about this Thursday, the Six Eyes Tag Team Preachers will be doing the message on forgiveness. So you'll want to join us this Thursday at 9 p.m. Amen. And we'll let Pastor Bonnet have the floor for the closing prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Looking forward to that message on Thursday. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you that our names made the woke list. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Father God, for the activities of our limbs. Thank you for being clothed and in our right frame of mind. Thank you, Lord God, for a heart that loves others. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us how to love you the correct way. Thank you for so much things that you have done for us. You've been patient with us. You've been kind towards us. You have been loving, sharing, and giving of yourself to us. And we just want to say thank you. We thank you for this program and other programs like it across the length and breadth of this world. We pray for the encouragement of all that are trying to minister the word of truth the best they know how. Lord God, that you will send finances their way, that they may continue to do what is needed to be done, that the vision will be fulfilled that you have given them. Lord God, we're praying, Lord God, that they will keep an ear open to hear what you are saying for your people throughout the world. And God, we just pray for obedience, that their lifestyle, our lifestyle, is a good example that others see us and will want to know who you are because of us. We thank you, Lord God. Our prayers are for those that are grieving in this time of grief. We pray, Lord God, that you strengthen their memory of the love, the peace, the joy that they were able to share with those that they love. And we give you thanks for it. It is in your Son Jesus' name all of our blessings we receive, and we believe that you have loved him and we have loved him. And because we have loved him and received him, you have received us. And your love is great towards us because of him. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we have traveling mercy as we go to and forth, as we are covered from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Thank you, God, for all that you do and all that is yet to unfold for us in our lives. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Catch us in Rewind. When you check out this show, we might be asleep. It might be Monday. It might be next week. But definitely check out this Rewind show on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless.
Oh, can't believe it.
Holy.